everybody, and welcome to today's Heartbeat. Now, in this Lenten season, every week we're going to concentrate on one area of our life, of how we live humanly, that maybe for you, you need to look at, you need to adjust, you need to change, you need to tweak. And if it's not a problem or an area that you really need to, have a listen, because you never know what the Holy Spirit might share with you anyway. In the book of James, and this book is amazing, in the letter of James, it's one of the best books which has practical instructions in monitoring your language, your speech. It focuses on the power and danger of the tongue. Now, a little aside is we women, sometimes are very bad with our tongues. We have a higher chance, I think, of gossiping compared to men. I don't know why we do. I think because of our language. You remember, if you ever looked at the difference between male and female, women speak, I don't know how many, but say 10,000 words to a man's 10. And I'm just accumulating us all into one box, even though everyone's different. You can have some women who don't talk much at all. But on the whole, we are the ones that tendency to gossip, to be malicious with our tongue, to speak not well of people, judge people, so it comes out. Because what's in your heart, remember, comes from out from your mouth. It's what's in your heart. So when we're talking about changing the tongue, the language, the speech, it's then also ultimately with the Holy Spirit changing your heart. In the book of James, it highlights that the control of speech is necessary for when we mature in our spirits, when we're more Christ-like, when we're becoming to be more like Christ, to the perfection that he calls us to. Now, I know I'll never be perfect till the day I get to heaven, but God still calls us to this standard, this perfection. James 1 verse 19 states, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness." So everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. You know, the thing of counting to 10 before you say something, so you in many ways stop yourself being as angry as you might be. Count to 10 and you don't say anything then at all. It's a good habit to put into your body, into your system, into the way you work, because then you won't maybe say things that come out that are angrier than they should be, or you're offended, you know, because of someone having a different opinion to you. They're allowed to have a different opinion. In scripture it says, don't take offense. You can choose not to take offense. You can choose to, you know, you can say, I don't agree with that, but you can choose how angry you stated or how not angry you stated. But here it states, be quick to listen. Are we listening to what the person has to say? Are we listening even behind what their words are? Maybe why they say it like that, their background. So many of us speak from our backgrounds, how we've been brought up, our families of origin, the habits that have been instilled into us without us even knowing when we're growing up as children. And it can be different to somebody else, but it doesn't mean that I'm right and you're wrong. It just can be different. But we're talking about our speech. We're talking about, do we then accept people as they are and not berate them, not criticize them, not, you know, put them down by words we use? You know, the danger of a tongue that is out of control is in James 1:26, and it states, if any think they are religious. Now, religious, I guess, is whatever religion, whatever, wherever, whoever the God that you serve and we serve, the Christian God, the one true God, that if you feel like you're religious, you're full of piety, acts of honoring God, acts of praying, acts of like a posture of even in your body of when you, you know, kneel and genuflect and make the sign of the cross. But it says, if anyone thinks they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. So if you feel like, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't bridle my tongue, I don't withhold what I think, I just say whatever I want to say, I'm negative, I'm critical, I'm disparaging, I'm, you know, all the terrible things that can come out of our mouth. Well, it does not that then, they say then, that's, you're deceiving because it's in your heart. Then you actually, you saying you're Christ, you're following Christ, you're a Christian, is worthless. Because what you say and what you do don't meld together. Remember, you know, not only children, all of humanity, don't just look at what you say. They look at what you say. Does that line up with what you do? Same, reverse. What you do, does that line up with what you say? So if you do the holy, pious acts of worship to God, but you don't speak it, you don't treat other people well with your speech, how can they go, well, how can you be a Christ-like? It doesn't gel. So for a mature Christian, they've actually learnt. And maybe they didn't have to. Maybe they were amazing and they could just speak well of everyone and positive and whatever. But on the whole, we're not like that. We've had to learn to bridle our tongue, to stop it, to zip up the mouth, to hold our opinion. Or if we give an opinion, it's very, not watered down, but it's very like, well, you can have your opinion, I've got mine. But it's very, it's not confronting. It's not abusive. It's actually being caring and loving and sharing. You know, this other wonderful way of description is in James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And this to me explains it way more than even these other two scriptures. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. It's interesting. He says, not many of you should become teachers because you're going to be judged more. Because if you teach, meaning you're telling people this is how you act, then people are going to look at you and go, well, are you acting like that? Do you do what you say? Do I follow your lead because you are actually leading me correctly? So teachers have a great, great responsibility. And we'll actually be judged with a greater strictness, it states. Verse 2, for all of us make many mistakes. Well, me, that's me. But anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. Basically, it's saying, for those of you who understand about horse riding, you put a bridle, the bits, in the mouth of the horse. And if you want to turn one way, with the reins, you pull on it and the horse, the whole body of the horse will go one way. If you want to turn the other way, if you want to gallop or walk or however, you direct the instructions through the mouth. Saying, just like a fire is set ablaze by a little spark, our tongue, not just the tongue because it's in the mouth, the speech, what comes from our mouth, can set a fire ablaze. And it can be devastating, a bad fire, a fire of gossip, a fire of denigrating someone's name, of sharing secrets that weren't yours to share. And you can, you know, cause so much damage and harm by what we say, how we speak. And so James is saying, just like a ship in strong winds, the rudder, the captain, he's got the wheel, but the rudder is what helps steer through the waves, through the wind, this big, big ship. Well, our tongue can do the same. And he points out that we can both praise the Lord with our tongue, and we can also, though, curse people. Many swear. God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You don't need to swear. You especially don't need to use Jesus' name in vain. Jesus' name alone should be honored and glorified. And if you do swear because it's part of what your family upbringing was, change it. Why do so many people come out with, oh, sugar? Because they don't want to say the other word. And then hopefully you can get rid of even the sugar part and not even say anything at all. But at least they put into place the habit of changing what used to come out of their mouth. You don't want to be praising God and cursing people, all from the one mouth, the one heart. Because God doesn't want us to curse people. He says, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Both love. He says, love your enemies. We don't want to be inconsistent in our speech. We want to be able to, what we say is what we say. Our yes is yes. It says in verse 9, with it, so with our tongue, we bless the Lord and Father, but with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. We praise God, but we curse those made in the likeness of God. God doesn't want that. From the same mouth, it says, comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. So he's saying, watch your tongue, watch your speech. Maybe you ask the Holy Spirit, guide me and trip me up when I'm saying things wrong, or I'm gossiping, or I'm, you know, in the workplace, in the office, and I hear things, and you can just stand up and say, oh, no, I'm not interested in that, thanks, and move on. You're not being disparaging to the others, but you're basically telling them, I'm not interested in this gossip. Or you say something positive about the person they're gossiping about, but you tell them where you stand. And really, for those many of us who swear, work on it. Give glory to God for all that he does and all that he is, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in it. So I'm going to leave you there, but I suggest read the letter of James. It's amazing how he tries to really describe how the tongue can be terrible. There's a scripture in Proverbs, and it states, and it talks about, say, humor, but it comes from your tongue. You speak jokes and you laugh about people and about groups of people. You know, what about the Irish jokes? There's always Irish jokes, English jokes, and some of them are very funny, but they're not disparaging, but some of them know they're terrible. They're terrible. And, you know, you can, and the proverb goes like the fiery brands from the devil is just like me with a joke saying, I was only joking. My words, oh, I didn't mean it. I was only joking. It was just a laugh. Who was the laugh at? Who was the laugh offending? Who were you offending in the joke? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That's what my mother taught me. Well, the same in the jokes that we present to people. How we talk about people. Be upbuilding, be uplifting, be encouraging. Too many in the world aren't. So think about it. What can I do this week in watching my speech, in watching what I share, what I say, how I say it, even the tone of how I say it? Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, because we can all tweak and change our speech, our language, because it comes from our heart. Have a great week, and I'll see you again next week.